Welcome to the podcast of Life Change Church, where we exist to love people to life change. We hope that this podcast is both challenging and encouraging to you. Enjoy the message.
Well, hey, we are in the final and the last week of our series entitled Stories. So this is our summertime series and kind of gone through all of summer and been pretty amazing. Before we jump back in, though, I do want to remind you of a couple things tonight. So at 5 p.m., we do have our student life going on. So again, that's grades 6 through 12. So if you are a student or know a student or have a friend that's a student, bring them. They're doing their summertime challenge where they're getting points for all sorts of things as well. So it's just a blast to see all of them jump in. So that's tonight at 5 p.m. And then after that, tonight we do have prayer here at the church from 6 p.m. to 7 p.m. And that's just an incredible time really to spend in really just in prayer, whether journaling, whether reading the Bible. We actually put some worship music on in the background. We do have slides, too, to kind of guide you if you're wondering, like, what will I do for an hour? The time does go by faster. We have slides to kind of direct you through things as well. And then we do come together at the end, and we pray together. We often give a time for you can pray in public, but we understand if you don't want to do that, there's no obligation to as well, because people sometimes get scared about that. We understand. But it's just an awesome time to start your week out. And then coming up on September 10th is our third birthday as a church, which is just amazing to think all that God's done in just under 3 years right now. So coming up on 3 years. So we are celebrating, and we celebrate with birthday cake, obviously. So you get to come to church and have birthday cake. And if you want to be a part of that and bring a cake, bake a cake, you can do that as well. So bring a cake to the service that you show up at, and that would be awesome. And we will celebrate with that. We also want to celebrate with baptisms. Currently, we don't have anybody signed up, but if you've made a decision to follow Jesus and you want to be baptized, if you've never done that, that's that outward sign of the inward commitment. If you want to do that, we will do that day to celebrate with you. And then we're also going to celebrate with child dedications. So we don't baptize children here. We believe that you need to be at a certain age to make that decision, so you are consciously making that decision. But what we do instead is we dedicate children. And really, it's a commitment upon the church, upon the family, and upon the parents to raise the child up with God. And we do a ceremony signifying that and symbolizing that, and just a really great way to celebrate family. And that's what we're doing, again, September 3rd. September 10th, we're celebrating 3 years as a church family together. So I want to challenge you to start invite people to that right now as well. We're going to jump back into our series entitled Stories. And through this series, we've learned one incredible fact, is that faith unlocks a legacy. Faith unlocks a legacy. And we've heard stories from people within this congregation. We're going to hear another incredible story today of people who are living this life of faith out, who are unlocking their legacy as we speak. And then we've also dug in and we looked in the Bible and we've heard these incredible stories from the characters in the Bible as well. And again, this principle, it comes from Hebrews chapter 11, verses 1 and 2. So if you have your Bibles, you can turn there with me. As always, we plug the YouVersion Bible app. In fact, I think this week you're going to see on Facebook, if you're on Facebook, if you're not, that's okay too. You're probably saving yourself some grief. But if you are on Facebook this week, we are going to be plugging an actual Bible reading plan together. So watch out for that early this week. And as a church, we could read the Bible together. But the Bible app is just an incredible resource that gets you reading the Bible daily, because that's what it's all about. It's not just open the Bible on a Sunday, but reading the Bible daily. And the Bible app is just an incredible way to do that. But if you have your Bibles, you can go with me to Hebrews 11, 1 through 2, and it says this. It says, faith means being sure of the things we hope for and knowing that something is real even if we do not see it. Faith is the reason we remember great people who lived in the past. And again, the first week we started off and we read all of Hebrews chapter 11, and it had all these incredible stories of people. And the reason they stood out, the reason why we're even reading about them, is because of their faith. Their faith is what makes the difference. Their faith is what unlocks their legacy. And today we have the incredible opportunity to hear from two people within this church and about their story and their life of faith. So if you would, welcome with me to the stage, Rick and Kendi Newell. So Rick and Kendi are, they're pretty special people here, so you don't know about them. Rick claims that he just plays the bass.
That's what I do.
But he does so much more. He actually runs, he's the audio kind of coordinator back there, so all the audio stuff, he trains people on that. He also works in the kids' life, whenever that's needed. Really, any place that's needed, Rick can do. So, and Rick is willing to do as well. So it's just incredible. And then Kindy is our kids' life director. So all the kids back there have an incredible experience just because of who Kindy is and the team that she's put together. So it's definitely a team effort, and she has an incredible team, and she leads them, so they have an incredible kids' life back there as well. But they're both pretty special to me because they actually are family as well. And by family, I mean like blood family. So Kindy is actually, it's coming out, and we're going public here. Kindy is my sister. Some people never realize that. Kindy is my sister, and then that makes Rick my brother-in-law. So
I wondered why you kept coming to the house.
I know. These pastor calls are just way too much. But no. But so it's just an incredible honor to hear you guys and to hear your story. And I know some of it because, well, we're family. But I wanted you to share with everybody as well. So to start off, let's just jump in and tell us a little bit about yourselves. And Rick, we'll start with you.
Well, okay. Good morning, everyone. I have my notes here. The older you get, the less you remember. I was born in Zanesville way back in February of 1960 to Gerald and Joan Newell, both of Zanesville, and they still reside in Zanesville. And I had a wonderful childhood in the 60s. You know, it was pretty good. We grew up going to Calvary Baptist Church in Zanesville, and that's where I had a part of what they call the Awana group. I don't know if you've ever heard of that. Some of the Baptist churches still have that. And it was a youth organization, and it was a wonderful thing. It's where I actually accepted Jesus at the age of 12. And I still remember that. I mean, we were memorizing Bible verses and stuff, and I don't remember exactly what was said, but I remember the man's name was Jerry Maxwell, and I'm not sure if he's still alive or not. I haven't researched that or checked up on that, but it was a very meaningful time for me, and I was baptized also in that church. And as you grow up, as most of you know, you hit high school, and then you get your driver's license at 16, and freedom sets in. Yeah, as much freedom as you can have for a 16-year-old. And I was in the band in high school, and the band director asked if I would learn to play the bass guitar. If we get a bass and an amp, would you learn to play it? And I said, yes, I would. So I taught myself to play bass guitar, played in the jazz band, and then, of course, as bands go, we discovered rock and roll. And so I played in a rock band at an early age. I think we were playing in bars, and I was 17. And living the dream, you know, the big life. We were stars in our own mind. And got married just out of high school at the age of 18. And my wife and I had three kids, the second of which lived only 7 hours, and we'll discuss that a little later. And as my career got moving forward, I worked for Pepsi in Zanesville, and the company changed hands. And so my income drastically changed. So to offset that, I did what anyone would do. I went with my in-laws and we bought a bar. Yeah, not a good idea. And then along with that, I'd also discovered motorcycles and Harleys, so I bought a Harley and my hair grew long, and we started running on the weekends, you know, what do you call them, weekend warriors, pretty much. And I spent more time in the seat on the bar stools than I did on the motorcycle seat, I think, because that was what we did. We rode from bar to bar and drank a lot, and I don't know how I survived that. Well, we were married for 20 years, and then we were divorced at age 38. And then I got married again probably a year later, and I was married for 10 years there and had a daughter, Mackenzie, and some of you may have seen her. She's here occasionally. She's the tall, blonde-headed girl with glasses. You know, really struggled with church and basically, you know, turned your back on God. You have your freedom and you stay away from church and you don't come around. And then I eventually got invited to Dresden Church, where I started going to Dresden Church, became the sound tech there, installed a new sound system and video system, where I led worship and was part of the worship band there as well. And then divorced again after 10 years for the second time. And the only stable thing, obviously, was my career, which I've been with Pepsi since February of 1979, so I've worked there 38 years.
And Kenny, tell us a little bit about your life and when you were born and how it was to have an amazing brother.
Well, I was actually born in January of 1979. So I was born in January, and then that following month, Rick started his job with Pepsi. So there's a little age difference, 19 years, but it's been in our favor. So I was born to Greg and Cindy Huffman, wonderful, loving, nurturing Christian parents. My life was wonderful, and then it became perfect when I was 3 because they brought home a baby brother named Corbin. And he and I had many fun adventures together, I'm sure, growing up. And we didn't really argue too much. As part through my life where I strayed from the church, I know that Corbin was always lifting me up in prayer. And I am just so thankful that God has given me this Christian man as a brother, who's a mentor and a friend. And I don't think many people can say that about their siblings. So I love you, and you're precious to me.
Oh, man, you went way nice. I love you.
So I was raised at Neal Avenue United Methodist Church. Every Sunday, I remember going to Sunday school. I remember going to VBS, Vacation Bible School, during the summertime. And then when I was in sixth grade, our church had what was confirmation. So you just kind of learn about the history of the church, the history of the Bible. And so it was at that time that we were going to kind of be introduced as members of the church. And so in order to do so, I kind of felt like I had to accept Christ. I knew Christ, you know, my life. I loved him. I wanted to serve him the rest of my life. And so I kind of felt like I made the head decision at that time, because I felt like, okay, this is what I have to do. I didn't have like this aha, like Holy Spirit-filled moment. And so after sixth grade, I joined the youth group. And again, I think it was mentioned last week with the Choir of the Fire. I went to a Choir of the Fire, which is just kind of a cool concert with lots of cool teachings and preachings, where kids just don't experience that at the regular church. And so I went from a very traditional church to one where we were singing like rock songs and raising our hands and praising. And so it was during one of those Choir of the Fires that I made the heart decision to follow Christ. And it was also during one of those Choir of the Fires that I said, hey, God, I think, is really calling me to go on a mission trip. So at the age of 13 years old, I don't even know how I convinced my parents. I think it was a lot of prayer on everyone's part. But I went to El Salvador for a month with my best friend growing up, Scott Thomas Ford. And so we did just a ministry there. And so all during high school, I was very active in the youth group. I was in drama at school. I got all A's, which kind of led a hard path for my brother to follow. It's okay. I'm a teacher, so I always tell the parents, I don't compare your children. We're all unique. And I really mean that. We're
yes,
all unique.
We are.
And so, in high school, well, actually it was before high school, about seventh grade, there was a kid in the youth group, a guy, and of course, I thought I was in love. And so we dated like forever, on again, off again, but then more on again. And so he was just always there. And so I graduated high school, and I went to Mount Vernon Nazarene University, and I had my bachelor's, and I went back for my master's in education. And after my sophomore year, hey, I'm in love, so I'm going to get married. And so I married that guy from seventh grade that I'd always dated, and that relationship lasted about 4 years. And so we divorced. And after that divorce, I just felt just so much shame. Like, I grew up in the church, I went to a Christian school, you know, my life looked good from the outside, but inside I was just kind of falling apart. And I had done things that, you know, I regret, and, you know, I just wasn't the person who I wanted to be. And so instead of become the person I wanted to be. I just ran away from what I should have done. And so it was at that time that I stopped going to church. I thought, well, I'll just figure this out on my own. And I didn't. I just wandered farther and farther. And so I met another man, and we moved in together, and I don't know if that's really what he wanted, but that's what I wanted, and we're going to make it right, because we're living together, and in my mind, I know that's a sin, and so we're going to get married. And so we married, and it was like during that time that I just felt extreme guilt, like I'm not going to church. You know, Sundays, we'd go out and do things with our friends, and in my head, I'm like, oh, you need to be going to church. And so in 2009, I woke up, and it was around, you know, Christmas time, and I'm like, I don't want to go through another Christmas and just go to mom and dad's and exchange the presents and smile and not go to church. And I, like, that just was going to be so hypocritical. And so I looked at my husband and I said, I can't really celebrate Christmas without going to church. And so that's, Jesus is the reason for the season and then for the season of life that continues after you know him. And so I just said, I'm just going to go to church. And so I started to go to church, and I loved it. I loved it. It was a different congregation from where I grew up, so I just felt like no one knew me, no one knew my past. I could just be me. And so I did, and I just felt like, again, like, okay, you've got to make this serious. Like, this has to turn your life around. And so I was baptized, and so my family was there. And I had some coworkers there that just surprised me that they showed up. And of course, my husband was not there. And so I made that outward sign of that inward commitment, and I haven't turned back since. And then I went to my walk to Emmaus in July of 2010. And that was such a growth for me. I realized that, hey, you know, God forgives, God loves, he's always been there, he always will. And I continue to be very active in the Emmaus community. I'm part of a share group that meets weekly, and we encourage each other and love each other, and we're truthful with each other. So when I mess up now, I have people to go to and say, okay, this is what I'm going through. Can you pray for me? Can you tell me what I should do? And they absolutely do, whether it's what I want to hear or not. And so my second divorce occurred. I just kind of said, this isn't working. We want different things in life. I wanted a family, and he didn't. And I thought I could change his mind, and I couldn't. And so I ended up being divorced again, two times, age 33. But one thing was consistent. I was a teacher. I'm still a teacher. I'm my 17th year at Utica Elementary School. I'm currently fourth grade, but I've also done six. So somewhere along the line, I met a wonderful man. So we'll get to that story.
Well, go ahead. We'll just jump into that too. So share a little bit about your guys' life together, kind of quickly how you met, and go from there. So,
well, we had actually met through Emmaus, and I went on my Emmaus walk. It's been 10 or 11 years ago, which I actually met Greg Huffman first, and I knew Greg, but he's the only one of the Huffmans that I knew, and then eventually I realized that he had a daughter. After I'd been divorced a second time for about a year, I saw her at a gathering. No, I met you in the what they call the agape room. She was standing in there, and I was delivering some letters, and I walked in and got to talking to her because I had found out that she was a teacher. Yes, I did some research, and I wasn't stalking or anything like that, because I'd actually told God after my second divorce, I said, God, I've tried to do this two times now, and it hasn't worked out. So if you want me to have someone in my life, you're going to have to put somebody in my life. And so I met her, and we got to talking. You know, I found out that she was a teacher, and so I started asking her about algorithms. Does anybody know what algorithms are?
What a pickup line.
It's a ridiculous math thing, and in fourth grade, and I was clueless. So I asked her about
still
that,
is.
And we that began our talk about that, and I forget where I was going with that, but
well, Well, I can fill in if you'll let
you
me.
Can, go ahead.
So I remember the first time I met Rick. He was intense, and he was, like, focused on what he was doing, and he was kind of scary. And if you know Rick, that doesn't even describe him at all. That more, like, describes me, like, intense and ugh. So, like, I met him, I'm thinking, well, what is this guy's deal? And so, you know, I got through that encounter, and then I would keep on seeing his name, like, for current teams, and I'm like, God, there is that guy again, like, that guy who's so... And so God just said, just get over yourself and pray for him. So every time I would see his name, I said, you know, dear Lord, be with this Rick Newell guy, da-da-da-da-da. And then at one of the gatherings, there's special music, and so he had on, I can just get this vision, he had on this really awesome cream jacket, and he got up and he played his guitar and he sang and he went from this, you know, kind of grumpy, you know, guy to, ooh, he's talented and he's loving the Lord and he's kind of cute for someone who's 19 years older than I am. And so I started to pray for him and that really changed my life. And so we started to talk and I told, I mean, this isn't what I wanted. I mean, it was like currently after my divorce, and I'm thinking, man, God, if you want someone in the long, 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 far away future, like, that's okay, but just let me have time to get myself together. Well, it's his timing, not mine. And so Rick and I were talking, and I had two things that I really wanted in this next guy, if there ever was. One, he had to be a Christian. And so that was one question I didn't even have to ask. When I saw Rick, he lived it out. I could see the love of Christ in his eyes. And the second one was a little harder because he's 19 years older than I am. And so we had a phone conversation. It was very into the beginning of our relationship. And I said, hey, I really hate to everything's going really well, but we have to have this conversation. And because I knew what my answer had to be, and if his answer was no, then I was going to have to tell him I can't talk to you anymore. Like, we have to end this because I can't be heartbroken. And God just said, Kendi, when he says Abraham, everything will be okay. When he says Abraham, everything will be okay. So I said, Rick, I know you have a daughter, and at the time I didn't know about his other sons. And I said, but what are your thoughts about the future and having another child? Would you be open to considering, you know, if our relationship got that far, would you want to have children? And what did you say to me?
I said, children are a gift from God. And if God so chooses to bless me with another child, I'm fine with that. After all, Abraham was 100 years old when he and Sarah had a child. I didn't know why I mentioned Abraham, other than he was old. So, I'm old, he's old, it's all good.
And so I hear this, and it is
she
just
got
like,
quiet.
I got quiet, and he goes, are you there? And by this time, I am sobbing. I'm like, yes, I'm here, and I think I'm going to be here forever. And
I thought I really screwed up.
And so, obviously, things progressed, and we didn't do a lot of dating. We liked to go walking on Black Hand Gorge. And you know that sign that says, park closes at dusk? They really mean it. We met a few sheriffs. Never went to jail, but met a few sheriffs. And so we started talking, and I told him, I said, you know, when we get engaged, because I know you're going to ask me, you're not going to want to let me go. When you ask me, I said, I don't want a ring. I said, I don't want a diamond ring. I said, we're going to have a future, and I have other things that I want to spend that money on that are just more important to me than just a ring on my finger. And so before one of the Emmaus gatherings at First United Methodist Church, he took me into the prayer chapel, and so he asked me to marry him, and he got down on one knee, and it was like, you know, everything I was expecting and more. And so he reaches into his pocket, and I'm like, if it's a ring, you better keep it in there, because I will change my mind, and I will say no, and I will walk out the door. I mean it. And so he says, it's not. So he reaches in, and I should have warned him today, but he reaches it in and takes out this little bracelet that says taken. And I'm like, did you get that at Claire's? He's like, yeah. But so he put it on, and so he had one and I had one. So for that month that we were engaged, it was a very quick engagement, we each wore our taken bracelets. And so we still have those today. And so obviously we're married, still married. And the big thing is, we just celebrated our fifth wedding anniversary. And so if you heard Rick earlier, he had 20, 10. And so, I mean, he was going like halves, 20, 10, and I'm thinking, five, I've got to make five. And I never made five in any of my marriages. And so I'm like, this is monumental. This is big. We've got to get here. And so we celebrated. And yes.
I mean, don't tell Cal. We're going to go ahead and
stop right there.
Talk through 5 years of marriage. And maybe Tesla, just quickly, maybe I'm sure 5 years of marriage since you never got there before, and Rick's going that route. 5 years of marriage is super easy, right? Maybe share a little bit of the hardships of marriage, and then we'll go into a little bit of the hardships of even through faith and life. So, Kenny, if you want to jump in and talk about maybe your 5 years of marriage here.
Okay, so I love children. I've always been around them. I'm a teacher. So why would God give me a stepdaughter that I couldn't connect to? Why would he give me a stepdaughter that I just didn't understand? Why did he give me, you know, just this challenge? Like, everything was going to be good, you know, I love her. I just don't know how to share. I don't know how to explain. And God also revealed to me that I was still really selfish. I was still all about me. I'm that type A personality. I like to plan. And so for my life now to have to be with someone else's schedule and to coordinate that, like, that's not what I wanted. Like, I wanted to do things when I wanted to still. So that was a lot of learning for me. And so it affected Rick and I's relationship. But Rick has been nothing but loving through that and persevering. And so I read my Bible daily. I read devotions and I journal. And so I just feel like when I've done some of this, and even some of this is like recently, so I just feel like God just saying, like, I need to share some things from my journaling. And one of them was just perseverance. So if you, these are not my words. These are just words from devotions. Joni Erickson is Tata. And so this is just perseverance. So, like, I mess up. I know I do. But I try again. Like, I don't say I'm done. So every day might be a new day and trying to deal with loving her. So we must remain faithful, especially during times of hardship. Sometimes God may answer our prayers with silence, and when he does, we must patiently persevere. Whatever your problem, God can handle it. Your job is to keep persevering until he does. Your life is not a boring stretch of highway. It is a straight line to heaven. And just don't look at the fields ripening along the way. Look at the tenacity and the endurance. Look at the grains of righteousness. You'll have quite a crop at harvest. So just don't give up.
I think it's amazing, too. I feel like for any marriage, that's key, right? Mm-hmm. Is to persevere. I mean, it doesn't matter if you've been married 2 years, 20 years, 40 years, 50 years. There's times where it gets hard. There's times where they throw things in there that you just don't understand or even know about. And even the whole thing of a stepchild, like, how does that work? So I think that's amazing you shared kind of that struggle. Rick, share with maybe a little bit about, so I know maybe your struggles and just more along the lines of your faith, you kind of alluded a little bit to the fact that you did have a child before that that lived 7 hours. Maybe share a little bit about some struggles with faith with that.
Okay, in my first marriage, it was in 1985 that we had our second child coming, and she was pregnant. And then she had a miscarriage, and then seemed like she was pregnant again right away. And early in the pregnancy, or maybe in the middle of the pregnancy, her water broke really early, and she was put on complete bed rest, could only get out of bed to go to the restroom. And so she laid, and with no water in the womb, which constricted the baby, obviously. And she finally went into labor, and they took her to Zanesville and then rushed her to University Hospital in Columbus. And we went up there, and they ended up doing an emergency C-section and got the baby and rushed him straight to neonatal intensive care where he was. And they got him stabilized, and I went in to see him. And I could reach in and touch him stuff. They asked, do you want to hold him? And I said, no, I just want him to be okay. And they said, well, he's stable for now. Why don't you go home and get some rest? So I went home, lay down, and I don't know how long I lay there, but the phone rang, and my wife called and said our son had died. It was a long time ago, and it still hurts. And so we went back up. My parents took me up, and it's just not a natural feeling to sit there and hold a dead child. And I remember during the funeral, my oldest son walked up and he had a little bear in his hand. He wanted to take it up and drop it in the casket to give to his brother. And at the graveside, when we had buried him, I became very angry with God. Why did you give me a child and take it away from me? And my dad come and hugged me. He came and hugged me. I'm sorry. Working on my grammar. And it was he held me so tight. It was the first time I'd ever seen my dad cry. And later on, I was just so angry with God that I was out by myself, and I just screamed at God, and I cursed at God and swore at him. Told him never to do anything for me again. I didn't want him in my life. And when you look back at that, that's a scary thing. It's just not how you talk to God. And it took a long time for me to get over that.
Try to compose myself as well here in a second. So we'll go, we'll continue on a little bit. I know, Kendi, we'll bring it together here in a second. But I know, Kendi, you talked a little bit too, some of your biggest discouragement. You kind of hit on it as far as like feeling like a failure after failed marriages. So,
33, being divorced twice, where do you go with yourself? I knew God loved me, but I mean, I just, what, who's going to want me in the future again? And so when I met Rick, I'm like, God, like I said, in the far future, like this is pretty immediate. And so in my mind, I'm thinking, okay, well, Rick just wants me because I'm what is left, not what is right. And I don't know, from since day one, I've never felt that I'm just used goods. Rick has never ceased to see anything but the good in me. I don't know how, but God has allowed him to be able to do that. And so even into our marriage, I struggled with it. Like, I mean, it was all in my head. The enemy was telling me lies. Like, you're going to mess this one up. You're really not what he wants. And I would lock myself in the bathroom and sit on the floor and just cry. And I mean, it was really bad. Rick goes, do you think you need help? Like, me? I don't need help. Are you kidding me? But I did. And so I went to a psychologist, and I had some counseling sessions, and that's what I needed. I also needed to be put on an antidepressant for a while, but that's life. And I just, God, like, why couldn't you help me with these struggles? Kendi, I did help you. This medicine was created for people like you to get them over the hump. These people are created and they are taught to teach you so you can go on and you can learn these coping skills and you can deal with life yourself. I am medicine free. I don't go talk to anyone anymore. I have my share group. I mentioned that earlier. I have this strong group of sisters. I only have one brother, but I have really close friends, and they're just my sisters in Christ, and they're what God gave me to get me through.
Going to God, just share. So I think obviously God placed that counseling and even that in your life at that time. Continue on, tell me a little bit of how you overcame some of those, and Rick, I'll let you jump back in as far as how you finally got to the point where you were able to overcome those feelings of anger towards God and What are some of the things you did to do that? What are some of the things you continue to do and put in your life to live that life of faith out?
Well, I know my answer. So I pray daily. I mean, God and I, you just have to have that constant communication with God. I read my Bible. I read 3 devotions in the morning. I read 2 in the evening. I journal. Rick and I do a devotion together in the evenings. And we love that. We love that time just jumping in and being with the Lord together. We also do life groups and share groups or just small groups. And that's where you just get really close to people. And you know that, hey, you're all like me. You're all messy. But your messes are going to turn into a message. And God's going to use that. We're not perfect. I mean, the only person who is perfect, he died for my sins. And he died for your sins. And he died for sins for a future generation. So we just have to accept that and claim that and take the glory with us. I also decided, like, faith without works is dead. And so I try to serve whenever I can. But it just depends on where in your life. Like, oh, I can't do that because I'm too old or I'm too young or I don't have. Find something to do. There is no excuse. There was about 3 years where I would go every Tuesday and serve at Salvation Army. Right now, that does not fit my schedule. And so I am the Kids Life Director here. And I just do want to share another quick thing. Corbin mentioned, you know, at the beginning that I'm Kids Life. I can't do that by myself. So every one of you that has helped or God's nudging you to maybe go back there, try it. I have people who try it and just say, okay, I've done it once. Thanks. And I'll say, thank you. You find out what your spiritual gift and you do what you are called to do. So just quickly, in the body of Christ, there are often people that faithfully support those who take a more active role. And that is all my Kids Life servers. Work cannot be possible without the support we receive from those fellow servants in Christ. God is pleased when we obediently play our essential part of his plan. When we give ourselves fully to the work of the Lord, we will find value and meaning in our service as it brings glory to the Lord and draw others to him. The secret of true service is absolute faithfulness to where he has placed us.
Well, my healing actually came about after my walk to Emmaus, the spiritual retreat weekend, and I was just reminded how much God loves us. And we get mad at our earthly parents, and we say things to them that we don't mean, or we might mean at the time, but then we realize that we were wrong. And I struggled for a lot of years thinking that God could never forgive me for being that way to him. But I know that he has. He has forgiven me. And he reminds me of that daily. There was a song by Casting Crowns called Praise You in the Storm. And that's just something that I had to learn. That yes, they are our children, but they're only ours to help raise and guide and to love Jesus. Because, I quit doing that. Those children actually belong to God. They're basically on loan to us. And that's our job to teach them and raise them in the ways of the church and to follow Jesus. Because Jesus loves them more than we ever could. So that's my forgiveness. As far as keeping close to God, I love worship music. Music speaks to me, and I enjoy playing music. And even when I'm not singing, if you just see me up here and I'm not singing, and a lot of times I don't, but it's just playing bass guitar is a worship to me. That's what I like to do, and it's how I play as well as I can for God. He's an audience of one. That's who we're up here for, is for God. We're helping to lead you through worship, but we're actually worshiping God ourselves, so I just praise him and thank him for the opportunity, and as Candy said, we do our daily Bible readings. This is my second year reading the Bible through in a year, and it's amazing how much you don't remember, because you go through, I don't remember reading that last year, but I'm really enjoying it, and I'm not much of a reader, but I really enjoy it, and if you don't if you haven't done that, I encourage you to do so, because it'll help you in your faith walk as well as just living in general. It's your guidebook.
It's good stuff. I want to thank you guys for sharing so much. It's just incredible stories, incredible layers of stories, and I think some practical things that we can walk away with to continue on. I think we've all faced certain things, and we can relate to a part of your stories as well, and live that life of faith. But I want to pray with you before I let you go off stage. So, but dear Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for Rick and Kendi. God, we thank you. I thank you for them being just a part of my life and a part of my family, but we also thank you for them being a part of this church family, God. It's just an incredible blessing they are, an incredible story. I pray that you be with them. I pray that you continue just to be with them in all parts of their story. Give them just the strength to continue to overcome in even the obstacles that will come forth. God, I pray that you give them the strength to overcome those as well, God. God, we lift them up to you and let them just continue to live a life of faith so they create a legacy, God. We love you and we thank you. And in Jesus' name, amen. Cool. Let's give them a round of applause. If the band would come up as well. Rick, you didn't get very far. He just plays bass. No, he does so much. Faith unlocks a legacy. It's just an incredible truth that we've learned through this series. And I think one thing, too, as far as just the steps that we can take and how we can apply this to our life, we've heard over and over again, we've seen over and over again, just really some continuing and ongoing actions to take. And one is just to be a part of community. Two is to serve. Three is to praise. I think Rick said it great there. And then four is just those daily disciplines in life. Bible reading, prayer, journaling. Put those up on the screen for you just to kind of think through. And maybe as we're walking away from the series, maybe you just need to respond by placing one of these things in your life. So I want to give you that up.
Thank you for listening to the Life Change Church podcast. If you were here today and you were listening and you made a decision to follow Christ, we would love to hear about it. Or maybe you're here and you're listening and that God is asking you to make the next step with whatever that it is in your life. We would love to hear about it and partner up with you. If you would, go to www.mylifechangechurch.com and under the media section, please fill out the contact us information and let us know if you made a decision to follow Christ. Let us know what God is asking of you. And if you need prayer, we would love to partner up with you in prayer as well. We hope that you enjoyed the podcast and that it both encouraged and challenged you. Have a great week.